This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, an amazing Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, our final show of the year. I know that's a long time. It's not that long to be back before you know it, but it's time to check out of here for Christmas. And of course, Chris is going to do Hanukkah and New Year's and everything else, but I think we should have 3 hours of fun first, don't you? We're going to talk right here in the open, because I have a bunch of these emails, about not necessarily the budgeting stuff, the CR stuff. That's where a lot of this stuff comes from, but we'll touch on what we might be looking at going forward when it comes to the Congress, the House, the Senate, Trump, how things are going to look there. We'll touch on that. Nancy Pelosi broke her hip and then paused for a photo op? Why? Why do Democrats vote in lockstep? What is it? Are they afraid of their leadership? What is it? Changing your career for more money versus more time with your family? All that. Are the Trump cases ever going to come back? All kinds of food talk. Does health insurance deserve to be wiped off the map? All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I am telling you one thing right now. I'm not going to get into any more of the detail about the continuing resolution, the budget, the breaking the bill up, the not breaking the bill up, the votes, it's passing, it's failed. I'm not doing all that. Because there's so many questions, I wanted to first read these for you. So let's tackle what we're dealing with here. We had a little talk about this last night. We're about to have another little talk about it, possibly offensive, but you know that's how it goes. Hey, Jesse, what's behind the 38 Republicans voting no on the second CR? Is it the debt ceiling, or is there too much garbage in the smaller bill? Okay, set that aside. He's talking about the second CR they tried to pass last night that failed. The House Freedom Caucus really shot it down. Jesse, I know they recently started watching you. I agree that Trump is battling with the Freedom Caucus. I think it's bad. The whole issue is confusing. What's happening? Shut it down. Don't shut it down. I don't get it. Okay, we'll talk about that. Dude was also a Marine. Semper Fi. This one, Jesse, 30 plus years. I tuned into Rush's show every day to help me make sense of the government. Those 38 members, they're my people. I don't care about this. Okay, so let's talk about this. I gave you some background on it last night. Now let's discuss the House Freedom Caucus, the House itself, the Senate, Donald Trump, and the different philosophies. Remember, the right is much different than the left. The left has some divisions too. Do you go too far left? Do you try to stay? The left has some divisions too, but the right has more divisions than the left does because the right is less herd thinking. We have less of that here. We have more of a value on individual thinking, individual freedom. Now, there's all kinds of herd mentality too on the right. I'm not absolving us of that. But on the left, there's much less of that. On the right, there's more of it. On the right, you have libertarians, super, super small government libertarian types, very, very limited. You have neoconservatives, neocons they're known as now. That's kind of getting out of fashion, but that would be more of the George Bush, a Mitt Romney type, where they'll cut your taxes for you. But they're also going to absolutely blow up the federal budget. They're going to pile on all kinds of debt because they believe in getting involved everywhere on the planet. More military conquests, that kind of thing. There are more nationalist types. More nationalist types, that would be, I would qualify that as this. I understand I'm not going with dictionary definitions. The more nationalist type would be much more of a, heavy, heavy restrictions on immigration, illegal and legal. We got to stop all illegal immigration and then stop most legal immigration because America should be for Americans. So there's those types. And then there's a bunch of different divisions on the right. First, let's discuss Donald Trump, because he's the de facto leader right now. The newly elected president is always a de facto leader of his party. He's a de facto leader of the Republican Party. Donald Trump is much more of a Teddy Roosevelt Republican than he is a Mitt Romney neocon type, or a Ron Paul libertarian type, or a hardcore social conservative type, like a Mike Huckabee or a Rick Santorum, hardcore social. That none of those things are really what Trump is. He'll flirt and dabble into most of those things. But what Trump, for the most part, is a Teddy Roosevelt type Republican. What is that? A Teddy Roosevelt type Republican is fairly populist, meaning there are going to be ways in which Trump, based on his philosophy, will completely stray from what you would probably consider traditional conservatism. Maybe you love that. Maybe you hate that. But that's a good example. Recently, the Teamsters Union. Trump has really, really been appealing to blue-collar working-class types, which I love. But this can go a variety of different ways. And Longshoremen's Union, Teamsters Union. Trump is going to get involved in those negotiations, and he'll be more on the side of the guys on the ground, which actually I like a lot of that, but a lot of that can go too far and too pro-union. You're not going to see a traditional Republican do that. Trump will. Trump will be much more on board with tariffs. You know he loves tariffs. He says it's his favorite word in the English language. No, we'll tariff you, tariff that. That is a Teddy Roosevelt style of governing. It's not new. Trump didn't invent it. And it's not something that Republicans have never done before. That has been the Republican Party at periods of time in the past. And I addressed this last night. I'll address it again. Trump has approached his individual businesses the exact same way he approaches government. And there are a lot of business guys like this, where he doesn't concern himself with debt. He may concern himself with waste, but not necessarily debt. Meaning, if you're Donald Trump and you want to put a new gigantic Trump resort and golf course in Madagascar, but you've got to take out a $500 million loan to build the Trump golf course and do it the way you want. And maybe interest rates are a little high, and maybe you're already over leveraged a little bit. He's more the type of guy who would say, screw it, got to spend it to make it. Take out the loan. We'll put it up there. Just get it up there. We'll figure out a way to make it work. We'll figure out a way to start piling up money in one way. That's how he approaches government. He's getting another 4 years. Remember his first 4 years. Now, you may hate hearing this. I don't give a crap. But Donald Trump was, and this is, again, this goes back to a Roosevelt type. Roosevelt was exactly the same way. There have been many Republicans like this. Donald Trump signed every single gigantic, swampy spending bill that crossed his desk. This is before COVID, too. Before COVID, he did it. And every time he would get up in the camera because he knew you were mad about it, and he'd say, I don't like this. I'm not going to do this again. This is the one last time. And then the next time it would come, he would sign it. And most of those bills were passed with the majority of Democrats. Democrats were heavily involved in those bills. There was a group in the House of Representatives, the House Freedom Caucus, who opposed every single one of those bills and screamed about every single one of those bills because they are really focused on the debt and the deficits, and that's a big thing for the House Freedom Caucus. When it comes to the Freedom Caucus and Donald Trump, we're going to have to understand this going forward because this is going to come up again and again and again and again and again. This is why we're having this conversation now. Donald Trump wants to spend money. Yes, he's bringing in Elon Musk and he's bringing in Vivek and he wants to cut waste and all that's great. And he wants to do great things on the border. And maybe you're fine with spending money. It just depends on philosophically how you look at it. But Donald Trump wants to spend gargantuan amounts of money in his next 4 years the same way he did his last 4 years. And he would look at that. He does look at that
as a way to deal. He wants to make a deal. He was always trying to make a deal the first term. It's just those crazy idiot commies would never strike a deal with him because they acted like he was some hardcore right winger, which he wasn't. He always wanted to just make a deal. No, 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 we'll give you another $100 billion for that, but then you give me $100 billion of this and we'll do that. We're all negotiating, right? The art of the deal. That's how he approaches government. If you start restricting the spending, if you start putting a cap on the debt with debt limit stuff, then Trump looks at that, and I don't necessarily think he's incorrect about this. Trump looks at that as, wait a minute, you're capping me and all the things I want to do. I'm about to take over the office of the presidency. I'm going to want to spend money on this, and I'm going to want to spend money on that, and I'm going to want the freedom to spend more money on this and throw that money in there. And if you start capping me with the debt ceiling, you start freaking out about debts and deficits, you're going to limit me. This is a conflict that not only is existing right now, it will exist going forward. That's the reason we're having this talk. I'll wrap this up really quickly because I don't want to spend much more time on this. And we'll get to other Ask Dr. Jesse stuff in a moment before we get to that stuff. Speaking of talk, let's talk about Pure Talk. You still have time. It's December 20th. You have time. Now, not much time left. You need that new phone for Christmas. Someone in your life needs a new phone for Christmas. Ah, Jesse, I don't want to spend the money. Have you seen what AT&T charges? I didn't tell you to go to AT&T. Stop spending those ridiculous, those prices. That's crazy. Stop paying that kind of money. Pure Talk is the American cell phone company based right here in America. Their CEO is a veteran. Their customer service, they're Americans. They speak English. It's 10 minutes on the telephone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Switching is fast, it's easy, you save a pile of money, and you'll stop supporting a garbage mobile company. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. About to get into all the other Ask Dr. Jesse questions. I just wanted to try to clarify not just the argument that's taking place right now in the government. Do you pass this budget? Do you split the bill up? Should you simplify it? Do you raise the debt ceiling? Do you not raise the debt ceiling? I wanted to clarify a conflict that is going to keep coming up. What we're seeing right now, this isn't a one-off. This will be a conflict that comes up repeatedly for the next 4 years. A conflict between the more hardcore House Republicans, most of whom you like, the Thomas Massey types, those types, the more hardcore deficit debt hawks versus how Donald Trump governs. It's a different brand. There are two different brands. Those two are most definitely two different brands of Republicanism. Much of the time, they are going to be united on things. If Donald Trump steps up there and says, we need a bunch of money to deport all the illegals and build the border wall, everyone's going to be unified there. It's not going to be that way all the time. Get used to this conflict. And the only advice I will give you going forward, it's not about this one, it's about this one and all of them. The only advice I will give you going forward is read or watch or listen to different things from different perspectives and form your own opinion. Every single time one of these come up. The worst thing is not to potentially be on the wrong side of an issue. Everyone's on the wrong side of an issue from time to time, even me, believe it or not. But the worst thing is to be a lemming, to be a brain dead sheep or a lemming where you go to one source or listen to one person and you just happen to agree with whatever that person says, even if that person happens to be me. I am not a god. I am not all-knowing. I'm none of these things. I have opinions about things. I read what I can. I watch what I can. I try to come up with a good solution for the country, and that's what I care about. Don't listen. Don't echo every single thing that comes out of my mouth or anyone's mouth. Not the other radio guy, not the other guy you read, not Donald Trump, not Ron DeSantis, not Chip Roy, not Mike Johnson, not Lindsey Graham, not John Cornyn. No, none of them. You come up with your own opinions based on things. But that conflict I just brought up, a conflict that's going on now, is a conflict that's going to go on in the future. And the conflict gets more complicated when you add in the other factors. Okay, so you have these people in the Freedom Caucus, the ones who stopped that large monstrosity last night. And let me clarify. Once they killed the first bill, remember how I told you they were going to bring up another bill and they were just going to shave off some of the bad stuff and the bill was going to be just as bad? Yeah, the Oracle was right about that too. They shaved off some of the bad stuff, some of the headline stuff, the bio lab crap and that stuff. They shaved it off, and the bill last night that the House Freedom Caucus shot down spent just as much money as the previous one did. I told you that's what they were going to do. So, going forward, not only is that going to be a point of conflict, you have other factors at stake. You have other people involved. You have the establishment GOP type. They are essentially the enemy. Those are the types who don't want any reforms in government. They don't want any departments to lose a single penny. We're here to govern, and they want everything to keep going the way it's always gone. They're another factor in all this. And then you have to deal with the communists. The communists are always going to throw a monkey wrench in things too. Things are always going to be complicated when you have this many different groups, different interests pursuing different things. That's how politics works. All we can do is digest what we can digest. We will apply pressure where pressure is necessary and affect as much change as we possibly can. Let us move on, because actually this goes perfectly in line with everything we were just saying. Jesse, how do Democrats vote and behave in lockstep with whatever the party leader commands? Is it a fear of getting primaried, not appointed to committees, or are they all dirty commies? Okay, first, I need to explain, because there's a bunch of different things here. Why is that the case? For instance, when Joe Biden gets elected, go back and look. It's fascinating if you go back and look at the numbers. Look at Joe Biden's cabinet appointments, the guys he wanted, you know, Lloyd Austin's, Antony Blinken, the guys he's appointing to critical posts in his government. Go look at not just the Democrat votes, how each Democrat voted in the Senate, because they all voted yes. Go look at their public statements. Let me ask you, can you find, well, let's call it Lloyd Austin. We'll make it about Lloyd. Let's simplify this. Make it Lloyd Austin. Now, Lloyd Austin had a long military career before he was put up to be SecDef, before he was set up to be Secretary of State. Here's a challenge for you, as long as you're not driving. Go and find for me the Democrat United States Senator who had a single negative word to say about Lloyd Austin after he was appointed SecDef. Oh, I'll give you as much time as you need. Good luck. Democrats, they vote, the Democrats in the Senate, they all simply view it as part of their job to give a thumbs up to whatever their president wants when it comes to cabinet picks. The losers in the GOP establishment, they will oftentimes vote right along with that. Lindsey Graham types, well, I mean, he deserves to have his appointments. Lindsey Graham loves to say that. And then the second a Republican like Trump gets elected, he wants Pete Hegseth in there, Matt Gaetz, any of these people. Then the Republicans, well, I mean, it is our job to advise and consent. We really have to do our job here, guys, and dig in. There are a lot of reasons for that lockstep way of voting. And we will go into those reasons in a moment. Before we do that, let's go into this. So, you know, I might be going to SHOT Show in Vegas. And if I do happen to go to SHOT Show in Vegas, I'm going to stop and see the Byrna boys. I can't wait to see the Byrna guys. I love the Byrna. Byrna is, you know, they sell those non-lethal pistol launchers, the greatest things in the world. If you don't have one, you're crazy. If you sent your daughter off to college without one, you're insane. Your son. If your mom lives alone without one, my mom has one right by her bedside. Byrna saves lives. And because it's non-lethal, they shoot pepper balls or tear gas balls, whatever they are. It's legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit or a background check. The only thing stopping you from having one in your hands is you haven't gone to Byrna.com/Jesse yet to order one. Get a Byrna pistol launcher. I nerd out on these. I love to carry lethal and non-lethal. I always have. I always will. I like to have options. No matter if you carry or not, get a Byrna. B-Y-R-N-A. Byrna.com/Jesse saves you 10%. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, even while I'm gone, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'll get it when I'm back. Jewish producer Chris and producer Corey are still going to be here. They'll read them, and they'll give them to me when I get back. You can leave me voicemails, 877-377-4373. Okay, so the guy asked, why do Democrats vote in lockstep? Republicans do not, but the Democrats do. First, realize, as we have discussed many times before, that the desire for freedom to think about things in your own way, to come up with your own conclusion about things, that is not universal. People like you who value freedom, you make the mistake, I make it too, of thinking that other people share that value. Many people are drawn to Democrat policies, to the Democrat Party, because they don't have any desire for freedom whatsoever. They want to be part of a herd. Most people are like, well, I shouldn't say most people. A lot of people just want to be part of the crowd. They want to be like everyone else. It's very safe, extremely safe. And so once you become part of a herd, yeah, you can look at it this way. You can look at it cults like this or gangs like this. Or once you become part of a cult or a herd or something, you will go whichever way you are led. And it's very, very, very rare for somebody to step away and break away from that, even if they disagree with individual things that may be done in the cult. And this is a very extreme example, but when you look at guys like Jim Jones, Jim Jones drags all of his cult followers into the jungle. And soon, because of course these morons can't farm or do anything, soon these people are starving. And you think there weren't people there thinking, oh my gosh, we don't even know how to make food. This is stupid. We're starving. How many people revolted? Oh, some did, but not that many did. Because it's just safer to be part of the herd. That's how so many people think. And Democrats think that way in an extreme way, even if they have individual disagreements. Do you think every single elected Democrat senator and Democrat in the House of Representatives wants to talk, think, or sit and praise trannies? Do you think they want to do that? Do you think they look at the dude who's playing women's rugby, beating the crap out of all the women? He's 6'4", 250, of pure muscle. Do you think they can't see that dude's a dude? And do you think they like it? You think they all like it? They go home and they tell their wives. They go home and they tell their husbands. Gosh, did you see that freak beating up all the chicks on the rugby field? It was terrible. But they know, if they come out and say something publicly, that will be viewed as betraying the herd. It will not be accepted. It will not be he looks at things a little differently. It will be looked as treason, a flat out betrayal of the herd. That's how they look at it. And one of the reasons people were hesitant to leave Jim Jones's cult, and one of the reasons people are hesitant to leave all cults, is oftentimes the person who tries to leave has to have an example made of them. And that example is made for a reason. You've seen movies like this, or like I said, gangs and cults. Go ahead and get caught trying to leave. They'll beat you to death in front of everyone else. They'll kill you. They'll torture you to death. They'll do these things. And it's not just for you. In fact, it's not really for you at all. It's not even really a punishment for leaving. It's so everyone else can see what happens when you leave. If you are a Democrat and you step up and say something like, maybe we shouldn't abort every child, then you will be ripped to shreds. Who's that one Democrat? Seth Moulton, I think his name is, that member of the House of Representatives. He's recently, since the election, he didn't even say anything remotely radical or even remotely right wing. All he said was, hey, when it comes to the tranny stuff, I don't think dudes should probably be playing against women in sports. There's just a danger there. He didn't even say anything against trannies or whatever. It was really a very benign thing. I kind of don't think a dude should be playing volleyball against chicks and spiking the ball off their faces at 100 miles an hour. That doesn't seem right. That's all he said. It was the most benign thing in the world. He has been ripped to shreds from the day he said that. And part of the reason they're doing that to him is not for him. It's so everyone else can see. That's what happens when you betray the herd. Dear Rat Assassin, I have a question about a potential career change that I need some outside perspective on. I'm a railroad mechanic, and I have an opportunity to potentially switch to another job at my company. This comes with a much higher pay, approximately double with overtime, but also a lot of travel, working on call 24 hours a day. Normally, I would not mind this at all, but I have a 3-year-old son, and I am worried with the travel, long hours, and on-call work, I will miss a lot of things with him. I currently work midnight to 8 a.m., so I'm around for everything he does. On the other hand, being able to double my income would be a huge financial boost for my family in the midst of sky-high price increases the past few years. Any thoughts? He says I can say his name. His name is Mark. Well, I have many thoughts on this, Mark. And the answer to this is not nearly as simple as you're probably making it out to be, because there are two ways you can answer this question, and both sides will feel very, very, very strongly about this answer. The minority answer, although the people who answer it this way will feel strongly about it, the minority answer will come from men. It will be almost universally men who answer it in this way. Making more money to raise up your family financially is one of the roles of a man, one of the duties of a man, and to be able to provide better food, better housing, better cars, better health care, and potentially provide a better opportunity for the next generation, that is part of being a man. And you know what those guys have wrong about that? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'll tell you right now. My father, who recently passed, as you know, my father, he was not there all the time. He was not. He was not at all my games. He was not there for this thing in school or that thing in school. My father was a construction guy. That's what he did. And that took it. Construction is, depending on what kind you do, we did underground construction, water and sewer line stuff. And you know where you do construction? Wherever the work is. They don't put it right next to your house. It's not in the same office 10, 15 minutes away. You go out on projects. My dad was gone a lot, busting his hide a lot. And as a child, because I'm going to give you the other side of this coin, and then I'll give you my opinion on it. But as a child, I missed him a lot. I missed him. Is dad going to be there? I hope dad's going to be there. And sometimes that answer was no. Oftentimes that answer was no. I missed him. And because I'm going to give you the honest answer about everything here, I'll tell you right now, I'm 43 years old. And I actually had a couple sad moments last night thinking about my dad. I think about the things that I actually said to myself in a quiet moment last night. I wish we could have talked more, right? I wish we could have hung out more. So if you take this job, this extra job, extra pay, it's not all negative. But there's a chance when you're dead and gone one day, that boy of yours who's 3 years old, he'll be 43 like me. Maybe he'll be getting a little teary-eyed in the laundry room, having that conversation with himself. You have to understand that's coming. And then we'll talk about the other side of that in just a moment. Either way, keep making babies out there. Raising a family is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's not for everybody. Maybe it's not for you. But if it is, go embrace it and enjoy it. And the patriots, the anti-communists at Chalk are out there to ensure everyone gets to get in on the action. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk will have you feeling like a completely different human being and quickly. When I tell you about Chalk, maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, I guess I'll just cross my fingers and wish it works. How many emails have I read to you? Guys have stopped it. Ladies have stopped it. Forgot it at home and on vacation and immediately felt worse. They knew. Once you start getting your levels where they need to be, you'll never look back. You'll be mad at all the time you spent without it. Go. That's your gift for 2025, a Chalk subscription. Huge discounts on Chalk subscriptions right now. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, reminding you, you can download the whole show, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We'll get to Nancy Pelosi doing a photo op after she broke her hip in just a moment. I'm going to finish this question. The question was, guy's about to get promoted if he wants to, double the pay, but it'll mean a lot less time with his kid. Travel, on call, he's got a three-year-old son. And I gave you the it'll be almost exclusively males who say, yes, you need to do it. That's how you can raise your family up. And that's how I was raised. That's how my father, that was his philosophy on life, period. End of story. No, I'm going to go make sure we have a roof over our head. And he always made sure. I'm going to go make sure they have hot food. I'm going to go make sure this and that. But I'm not going to be at every basketball game. I'm not going to be there for this and there for that. I'm going to be gone a lot. So I gave you that perspective on it. Now, from the other side of it, I will tell you that I probably, if I'm being frank, just you and me talking, if I'm being honest, probably because of how often I missed my dad when I was a kid, I parents in the exact opposite way when it comes to that stuff. I am at, yeah, Chris is laughing. I'm at everything, absolutely everything. If there is a concert back when they were, and they had these all the time, when they're in the kindergarten choir, and I have to go listen to a bunch of kindergartners scream and pick their noses for an hour, boring, brutal, horrible, I'll be there. Period. End of story. I'm going to be there. If it's possible for me to be there, I will be there. Now, I've had to miss things because of work. That just is the way it is. Sometimes you get called out of town. You got to go for this or that. But if it is possible, I am there for every single thing because I want my sons to remember I was there. Actually, when it comes to this job, one of the things that it's odd, so I'll just go ahead and lay it out for you. One of the things you realize when you start doing this for a living, if people value your opinion, if people want to hear what you have to say, then obviously people will figure out a way to make money off of that. I mean, that's what this is, right? It's a radio show. It's not a charity. I've never pretended it was a charity. It's an advertiser-supported radio show. The only reason I get away with doing this show every day and saying all the offensive crap I do is because the show does very well for the advertisers in the show because we hand-select those so they're partners, ones we believe in, and it's a marriage like that, but it's a for-profit enterprise. I promise you, if I start losing money tomorrow, goodbye Jesse Kelly Show. There's no more Jesse Kelly Show, right? So there's money to be made when people want to tune in and listen to your opinion. Same thing on my TV show. There's money to be made there. Well, think about this. So I do a three-hour radio show every day and a one-hour TV show. My TV show is on The First TV. It's on right after this show, 9 p.m. Eastern time. That's 4 hours of talking a day. I'm not complaining, but that's 4 hours of talking a day. You know what they always want? Always, always. You know what they always want? They always want you to do more. Hey, do you think maybe you could, actually, we have this half-hour thing. We could set this up for tonight when you get home at 8 o'clock Eastern time. If you could do a 45-minute live Q&A thing on Instagram. And I'm not complaining about anyone who's ever suggested something like that to me. I'm really genuinely not. But if I wanted to let them, I would do the. I would just talk about politics and life for 8 hours a day. If I just did everything I was asked to do, why don't I do that? I'm ambitious. I'm as ambitious as the next guy. Not necessarily for money. That's not really my thing. I just like to win. I want to be number one. It's like to win. I could do that. Why don't I? Well, because then I never see my wife. I never see my kids. When I got home last night, I sat down with my two idiot meathead sons and my wife, and we laughed and we yelled at each other. We were talking about the day, and it was just, it was an hour sitting at the kitchen counter. The boys were, of course, stuffing their faces, and I was stuffing my face too. Abed made her homemade hamburger helper, and we're sitting there and we're eating and we're just laughing and talking. I wouldn't give that up for all the rice in China. So no, I'm not going to do 45 minutes on Instagram. I'm not. My boys are almost gone. They're 16 and 15. I don't have very much time with them left. They're almost gone. And when they're gone, I'm never going to get that childhood back. So I'm maximizing every minute. Now, I don't know if I gave you an answer to your question about taking the job or not taking the job. I guess it would depend on where your pay is now. But I will tell you this. If you are making a living now, well, you know what? I'll make it about me. I'm making a living now. I have a house. We have a couple cars. I don't have a boat, and I don't need a boat, and I can't afford a boat. I don't have a jet, and I don't have a mansion, and I don't. But I'm not complaining at all. I do just fine. If you were to sit, and if someone walked in right now, some dude in a big fancy Italian suit. I don't know why it'd be Italian. It just felt right. If some dude in a fancy Italian suit walked in as soon as I go to commercial break here, and he said, "Hey Jesse, I've got great news. I'm going to triple your pay for the year 2025, but it will cut your family time in half." I tell him, "Thanks, but no thanks. Turn around and leave. I'm not interested. Just not interested. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there for every ball game, every crappy concert, every swim meet I possibly can. That's my thing. All right? All right. Rough greens is also my thing. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan because Fred, well, he's really taken over the family. I'm very embarrassed to say. He's taken over the family now. Now, Ob has found a blanket, an old crappy blanket she doesn't like, and she throws it on the furniture when she wants Fred to get up there to cuddle with her. He's like a 75-pound monster dog, and he's a big, fluffy teddy bear. And that's why we give him rough greens. That's why we sprinkle rough greens on his food, because we want Fred to be up there annoying me on the furniture for a very long time. And Fred will die too early if we just give him dog food, because there's no nutrition in dog food. Your dog, your cat, they need rough greens or meow greens, depending on what you've got. Omega oils, probiotics, vitamins, minerals, these things are not found in your pet's food. Try a free Jumpstart trial bag. Your animal will love it, and it will live longer. You'll see differences in their coat, their breath, their energy. 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Dear Jesse, Chris, and Corey, who falls down the stairs? This is, the subject is Grandma Vodka's broken hip. Who falls down the stairs, breaks a hip, and then poses for a photo op? Singularly minded and speaks volumes, doesn't it? Merry Christmas, she said. Sorry, Chris. Hanukkah and blessings to you and yours. And her name is Nancy. I saw that. Nancy Pelosi, sadly, I hate when old people fall, even when it's old people I hate, took a nasty tumble down the stairs, broke a bunch of bones, and then immediately posed for a photo op. And I thought this was a fascinating question, because there is something fascinating about politics and politicians that I've watched happen many, many, many times before. I'm sure you have too, and we'll discuss that thing next.
when I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.